Forest, Dakota. Would you be willing?
Yeah.
Well, come on. Everybody,
how's everybody doing? Y'all okay? Is it Unity Great?
Yes.
Those of you out there in TV land, please come. You will enjoy it here. I mean, this is not just a service, it's a learning experience, it's a fellowship experience, and you make friends for life.
Amen.
And you know you can always depend on anybody at Unity to be there to talk to if you need to, as a friend. I know I love being here, and I'm not a person who likes to get up early in the morning, but I do for this.
It's not
the day I know. Well, I'm a musician, so we're up to 5 in the morning. This is a song that I really love a lot. It's a jazz standard. And this is so you can look ahead. Sometimes things don't look so good. And I've had those times where I look at it and it looks very bleak and very dark in front of me. And then I just think, it's going to clear up.
You are on that clear day.
so grateful, appreciative of you, and especially grateful and appreciative of Riverbed being so many things and always has in this really incredible ministry called Unity New York since day one, for 25 years. And I'm just grateful for her, thankful for her, and proud of her, and can't wait to hear what she's got to share with us today. Becca, come on out, girl. Somebody left to here last week.
LUT, I was invited to join the very first LUT conference ever at Unity Village, and I was honored to be sponsored by Unity of New York. Our conference group was 25 men and women from all over the United States and Canada, who teach children and young adults and grown-ups and music educators in the Unity tradition. Some had been teaching for 20 years or more, or they were newbies like me, just starting it up. We actually got, four of my classmates who graduated with me, and this is the first time we had ever seen each other in the flesh. We were only on Zoom for all of our classes together, but that was pretty exciting then. Some of you may remember Martha Creek from St. Louis. Martha Creek was our keynote speaker.
Wow. She was your what?
Speaker. She said her great love and honor to Unity of New York.
My spirit.
Becca, let's try it. Third time the charm.
Okay, here we go. As you can tell, I'm still flying pretty high from this experience. And it's filled my soul with hope for the Unity movement and for Unity of New York. So let's get started. Let's take a look metaphysically at that word, vision. In revealing word, vision is defined as seeing God as the foundation of all, the sources and the substance of everything. Seeing the good, the true, and the beautiful everywhere. But it's that last line that gets me lit up. Seeing the good, the true, and the beautiful everywhere. During that conference, we got to stand in the offices of Charles and Merle Fillmore, who were our founders of Unity. We wandered through the Unity archives and got to look up the daily word for our birthdays by year and date. Saturday night, we did this crazy meditation walk on your giant labyrinth and did it by candlelight under the moon and stars. We laughed a lot together and we shared our teaching stories, and we were blessed with a silent Unity prayer service and a Sunday service at the Unity Chapel. It was stunning, and I am so grateful. It's an experience I will never forget. And over, as I looked around, I saw the good and the true and the beautiful everywhere. Now, we know what a vision is, so what is a visionary? Well, it's somebody with a strong vision of the future, but I like to think of it as having three major traits. easy to remember, COP, courage, optimism, and persistence. Mm-hmm. Now, who does that make you think of? Maybe Dr. Martin Luther King, Steve Jobs, or Nelson Mandela, even Eric Butterworth. And not just the men, of course. Think about Harriet Tubman and Sojourner Truth and Gloria Steinem and Melinda Gates and, of course, Oprah Winfrey. Psychology Today writes, visionaries see the world differently and often see what no one else sees, finding potential and opportunity in times of change. Now that resonated with me. Right here as Unity of New York is reinvigorating our community after the pandemic. And this is most certainly a time of important change in our country and around our world. While Charles and Merle were visionaries, I believe they probably hit an even higher evolution of that. They were practical visionaries. Unity poet laureate James Dillard Friedman describes Charles as someone having his head in the clouds, but his feet on the ground. Religion to Charles was not an artist's subtle drawing to be hung on the temple wall and occasionally admired. It was a set of working drawings that he could carry about in the back pocket of his mind and apply to any situation that might arise. Those are our spiritual tools that we all have access to, like our five principles. You guys might remember, God is, I am, I think, I pray, I live. So last weekend, I got to experience the metaphorical and the literal working drawings of how Unity began and continues to thrive today. From a little history pamphlet in the archives. It says, Charles and Merle worked together to build Unity, just as head and heart worked together. They merged their individual strengths and talents to create a unique and powerful vision. Merle first accepted the idea of divine healing. Charles edited the magazine. Merle led Silent Unity, Charles named the work Unity, and launched the worldwide movement. Merle held people in prayer and meditation. Charles did the lectures and wrote the books. They were spiritual pioneers and healers and teachers, and they were builders. When the Fillmore stepped out in faith, the spirit of God in them just seemed to take over. It reminded me of the Jack and the Beanstalk story, you know, where they plant the magic beans and have to jump back because this giant beanstalk rushes up to the sky. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about that story. And some of it's pretty far out, but trust me, it's all true. In 1919, the Fillmores bought 58 acres of land about 15 miles from the heart of Kansas City, where their headquarters were at that time. The story goes that the old real estate guy who took them out to show the land said it was worthless. There were too many rocks to move and too many trees to cut down to have a good farm. But the Fillmores had a different kind of idea. Charles said, I'll take it. And one of the first things they did, of course, was to drill for water on the land. Well, what do you think happened? They struck oil. That's a clue. They kept drilling and striking oil and striking natural gas, and finally, they hit water, and it was an artesian well. That's a water well that doesn't even require a pump to bring it to the future, to the surface. They continued to do this and dealt with those pesky rocks that were a source of magnificent limestone, and they quarried it and built those original buildings from that. Their little son, Waldo Rickert Fillmore, thank God he called his name Rick from then on. He had returned from World War I and was inspired by the architecture in Europe.
He designed a collection of Mediterranean-style buildings using the natural stone and crowning each one with amazing red tile roofs. He also built private residences, and he loved the Cotswold style from England with the open beams and thatched roofs, but no thatched roofs in Missouri. Those rows of trees were old-growth black walnut, and they cured them and carved them into elegant furniture in the village, and some of that is still in the Fillmore's office. And this magnificent hand-carved walnut doors in the main entry of many of the major buildings there. And you know that little old Unity farm just thrived. They planted orchards and raised chickens and cows and abundant vegetables and fruit. They even had a little produce stand out on the side of the road and provided all the food they needed for their vegetarian cafe in town. So the other thing I really love as a senior is that Charles and Merle remained so flexible, as we were saying, so flexible as visionary thinkers. Merle, I feel, was a bit of a feminist, and Charles always reserved the option to change his mind. Now, these guys were not saints and never pretended to be. Mr. Fillmore wrote, "We all receive visions. Every splendid dream that we have of possibilities is a vision." In one of his sermons, he wrote, "If I was to say that Moses, Daniel, Peter, or Paul, or all of those old Bible fellows seem to have been led by visions, why wouldn't we in this day have the same leading if we were in the same state of inspiration?" And that, my friends, I believe is our point today. We don't have to relegate our visions to the prophets of old or to the Fillmores. Today's visions can be manifested right here at Unity of New York. I'm so proud to report that Unity Village continues to thrive. It's 1,200 acres now. They promote environmentally green practices throughout. It's a glorious natural habitat for deer and foxes and bunnies and birds. They have a great hotel and a fitness center. You name it, they have it there now. It is continually and profoundly blessed by spirit. I was particularly touched to see the three flags that fly each day over Unity Village: the American flag, the Unity flag, and the Pride flag. The village fully embraces diversity, equity, and inclusion for its ministers and students and teachers and in communities all around the world. It's the home now for Unity Worldwide Ministries, which handles education, LUTs, and ministerial training, and Unity World Headquarters that manages Silent Unity, publications like the Daily Word, and so much more. It is so great to know that we are not alone in the spiritual work that we're doing. And today I want you to embrace the courage, the optimism, and the persistence of Charles and Merle in your hearts as we move forward in strengthening and reviving our ministry of Unity of New York. As we continue to see our world and all that is going on right now held safely in spirit. Together we can do what no individual can do alone. I challenge you this week to put on your own practical visionary hat. Let's have some suggestions to consider. Number one, use that cute little community prayer that you got last week, that card. I set my alarm on my phone to buzz at noon every single day, and that's a good reminder. Keep that working and read it through the guidelines in the back. If you haven't done so already, consider seriously becoming a pledger. so that Britt and our board can continue to steward our resources mindfully, and we can continue to thrive and bring more love and faith into our wider world. Pledging is safe and it's powerful, and once it's done, you'll never see the difference. And here's a really fun idea. My friend told me about this. It's called the Found Money Fund. A friend did this with her kids a couple of years ago. Whenever you see any change on the street, tuck it away and put it in your Found Money Fund for your love offering. And what about that dusty old change jar that you have in the corner of your apartment? I have one. Anybody else? Yeah. All right. It's found money. Turn it to good use, to the places where you are spiritually fed. Is your income variable right now? If you're dependent on gigs or tips or working a side hustle right now, just do the math and look at the income each week and share that 10% and jump back, because you will receive increased prosperity and growing success. As seniors, my tribe, I had to remember to take away that phrase, I live on fixed income. Nah, we don't have to believe that. We can choose to believe God is my source and I am prosperous. Just as Charles and Myrtle visioned and Spirit rushed in, their vision has led us right here, community of New York today. And I believe that we too can embody their practical visions and grow right now. Let's get ready for some miracles to happen. I'm going to wrap up today with a little jewel that I was reminded of from Unity History. It's one of Myrtle Fillmore's favorite poems, The Prayer of Faith by Hannah Moore Coathouse. God is my help in every need. God does my every hunger feed. God walks beside me, guides my way through every moment of this day. I now am wise, I now am true, patient, kind, and loving too. All things I am, can do, and be, through Christ the truth that is in me. God is my health, I can't be sick. God is my strength, unfailing, quick. God is my all, I know no fear, since God and love and truth are here. And so it is. Amen. Whatever may be sitting in the shadows of your heart today, Let's bring them out into the atmosphere. These cosmic dust bunnies, meant to be swept gently out where we can deny they have any power over us and affirm that we choose to look at them through the clear eyes of the Christ Spirit within. We turn our faces to the sunshine of Spirit today that is always shining, and we raise our sights as we are cheered and encouraged by the beauty and clear evidence of God's blessings and abundance all around us. The fall leaves changing colors, the crisp fresh air, the laughter of children, and the boundless love of our community. Let it warm your heart and inspire your vision today. And as we move into this time of silence, let's see ourselves and all those we love empowered as practical visionaries, filled with courage, inspiration, and persistence in the silence. And now, with one more gentle cleansing breath, begin to return to this divine moment. Feel your feet on the floor. Become aware of those around you as we return refreshed and inspired. And so it is.